1-800-355-344 to secure your place.
Welcome to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities
and bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
Welcome in to ARCC Resettled Radio by It's Planet FM 104.6. This is Jobin here. It's after a long time, after my exams, and Gaudla couldn't be here because he got sick. So he just apologized not to being here. So I'm going to get you through today. It's a very fantastic day today. And all I looked forward was on the morning. I woke up and I was like, all right, so I'm waking up today and what I have to do today. And I realized that it's becoming so cold, especially in Auckland now, right? It's like a very, very quick change in climate, and realized that how I felt when I came to New Zealand, you know, for the first time and opened the airport doors and realized it's so cold. All right. So hope you guys having a very fantastic day, and let's get to the topic. And the topic is, it's today we're going to talk about racism and talk about racial discrimination. And go into the topic, I do know that the caption of what is racism is all comes from, you know, what do we feel as a racism, you know, in huge. And everything starts from understanding what is racism at first, and knowing what is racism will give us context to whether we are experiencing racism by, you know, day-to-day life. And there was one of the person that I was doing research about. Her name is Jane Elliott, and she talked about an ideology about blue eyes versus brown eyes. And she invited people into the whole interview panel, and she invited all of them to the panel and divided them based on their color of the eye and treated them very differently. You know, the people who had brown eyes were treated very differently to the people who had blue eyes. Then she invited them to the panel and told the whole panel that the people with blue eyes are the reason for deprivation, reason for poverty, reason for many things that they were blamed on or stereotyped on. And she talked about that this is a story about racism. And one of the guy, he jumped out of the whole conversation and he said that racism was created by God. And she said, God created humans and racism is created by humans. And so we created the differences, we created the color, we created the, all the factual about, you know, the differences between us. So that's how the story is. And I really loved, you know, the part of storytelling, right? So I think that this is a very short film that was made by it's just a very short film about, you know, racism. What is racism and how racism does in a way. So it's created by Abayan Institute. It's about an Islamic short film. So I think that it would help you better understand, you know, what does racism is faced by people in real life. So let's go into it, and I will get back to you after the short film. So that's what was the whole thing. And I do know that you haven't seen the whole short film about it, and it's been short. There was this lady, she was walking by to the road, and she had a black man who was coming at the back, and he was trying to, you know, grab her bag, and she suspected something was happening, and she was trying to call the police, right, to the emergency forces. But without realizing, there was a bus coming towards her, and he is trying to help her out. And it's a story about how we are judgmental. Human nature is to judge thing, and we are very quick to judge thing on based on their color and based on their belief and based on their religion, based on the differences that they have. We are very quick about it without even thinking for a second. We decide that they are their people without even knowing them, without even having a conversation, without even, you know, understanding or spend time with them. We immediately judge them because of our perception and our pre-knowledge. That's what racism is. Is even in form of any form of discrimination, that a guy's specific community or a specific person with, you know, different belief or with different color or any sort of differences that they have, if you are discriminating against them, that is what racism is. And racism is not just based on or racial discrimination is not just based on, you know, color, but it's also based on belief, it's also based on differences. It can be, you know, even against people from LGBT communities, even if it is about people from disabled communities, it can be people, you know, from people from, you know, different communities. And, you know, it can be experienced by anyone in huge. But some communities are experiencing in a huge scale compared to the other. So this is why, you know, we do have the chapter of talk of how well we do understand racism at first hand and how well we are educating our next generation about racism. Because most often our perception and pre-knowledge comes from what we learn through in our lifestyle. The most people that we engage is where we gain a lot of knowledge about who they are. And we use the pre-existing knowledge to judge the new one, right? And this is the part of issues of racism comes from, is when someone who is being young and getting exposed to people from differences, and they started learning about them through other source of medias rather than their form of reading or their form of experiences. And the question about experience is also being exposed to it. And one of the time my mom been to, you know, the early childhood center, and she was, you know, starting to teach there, and she was there for her placement, and she was like starting to teach the kids, and some of the kids came to her and asked her why her skin is brown and why it is that darker than their skin. And the questions that she said that, why your skin is, you know, pale, or why your skin is more lighter? And the child couldn't answer why it is. And she said that she born with it. This is how we were born. There is no difference in I became, you know, a bit darker compared to you become a bit lighter. This is what we are born with. And it is when the whole kids group realized that there is something that they wasn't being exposed to in day-to-day life is people from differences. They might not spend the time with someone who is a refugee. They might not spend time with who was from a different religion. They might not have spent time with, you know, someone who was disabled. Or they might not spend time with someone from LGBT communities. So the thing that I realized to the point that I told my mom, you answered very well. You asked the right question. Is so if someone asks you what it is to yourself, you re-question them. What it is to yourself, right? That's the same thing that I did when I came here at the early time. I think that it was like in 2015 or in 2016. And I have to, you know, to honest to myself, and people started asking where you are from. And I only answered by myself, by asking them where you are from. Right, ask them the same question that they asked, and they say that they are from New Zealand, and I said I am from New Zealand too. And in a way that I reflected them to see, you know, what they would like to see for themselves, because I do see that how our prejudging goes into, but most often they either judge me as Indian, either judge me as someone who is very related to African. And I always question that how much we know about the world, right? So that's when I realized that most of us doesn't know a lot, right? And getting to know a lot, that's mean giving a time to know things and not quick into jumping into the answers. And I even realized racism in very recent ways. I think that it was when I was in the car and I was driving there, and I was listening to the News Talk ZB on the radio, and they were talking about climate change, and suddenly someone called in, and it was on the live radio, right? And anyone can listen into, and someone called in and someone said that you're taking more refugees and that's the reason for climate change. And then I asked the question that how much they really know about refugee resettlement. And we're only taking 750 people per year. And most of the 750 people just have take more than 2 to 3 years to get to know what, you know, what is driving, or either into getting into a car, or, you know, even academic, you know, accommodating the car, even shifting to the whole system. And climate change, you know, is the carbon emission is happening for years and years, over the years and years. It's not just because of the migration that refugees, did. In a global scale, if you do look at the global scale, climate change can happen anyways, right? Because the global population is being, you know, maintained over the generation. And if it is maintained over the generation, then the climate change accumulation is going to happen. Either the migration happened from one place to the other. So the question is that, yeah, we could quickly blame someone for, you know, something that's, you know, just, you know, popping out just because they are from very different background and they are migrating just because they are, you know, fleeing the war and, you know, and persecution. And to the other question, there is refugees who are climate change refugees now. So to the acceptance, refugees are being, you know, fleeing because of climate change too. And if you do look at the statistic, and it does say that the carbon emissions were very high, you know, has been increased because of our household usage. So it's also go back into that we are sitting too much in our car for too long. And that's what contributing to our carbon emission, and that's what contributing to the whole climate change. And then the question comes into, are we really going to act about it, or are we going to really blame into people? So the question to the next generation is, am I stepping up to solve the problem, or am I going to be blaming to someone and just sit there? If I really care about climate change, I really would go and plant a tree and go and involve with the plantation, you know, tree planting project that's happening around Auckland. Even Auckland City Council has been starting a project for it. So you could just pop onto that project and help them plant more trees. Help them, you know, look after the whole whole generation, and help another generation to learn about why it is important to care about environment. Rather than judging or blaming someone for, you know, coming to the country and living very peacefully and contributing to their own community, that's what the perception and prejudice, you know, works in stereotyping to the whole entire community because of things around them, because of the way that they judge. Yeah, so we will externally talk about what is racism, and think for yourself, what is racism to yourself? What is racism from your perspective? What do you think that is racism, and what do you think that is no racism? What do you think that's as a point, that as a barrier between something that you say versus something that is racism and or racial comments? So we could go and break it down more and more, and we would talk more and more. And let's go back to a small song. I think that it's just by, I really love, you know, the musicians who talk about racism in huge, right? And I think that it works when, you know, all the songs and you know, have a concept of, you know, the social impacts. So I really love, you know, powerful songs that really talk about, you know, racism in huge. So let's listen to this song, and I think that it's a really good song. Let's go in.
Fuck you rapping for? Cracker ass cracker, got your rebel flag with your camo hat backwards. Stains on your shirt with your fucked up teeth. Piece of shit truck broke down middle of the street. Old lady bitching in the passenger seat, smoking like a chimney. Kids in the,
I think that it does have a lot of words that you cannot even listen to, but to the whole point of what does the whole song is, they do describe the originality of what it is, to what racism is being portrayed. I think that they use rap music to really portray what is the racism and how does racism being affected to the people of different color in New York. Because I was reading it last time that segregation was a start of colonization, that when, you know, when the Martin Luther King, who portrayed the protest of Black Rights Movement, and he talked about how we were segregated and we were put into very underprivileged poor communities, and that is a long-term goal of, you know, of, and it's continuing over the years, and it has been continuing still in the country, and it's been a cycle over the years, and it affecting generation and generation, and it's still affecting them because of the prejudice and because of the perception that we have about specific communities and the perception we have about Black communities in the US. And he talked about that, how many of us really talk about, you know, the issues among the people from other colors rather than people from Black communities. And he talked about how many of us really talked about incidents in general. We only emphasize specific color communities rather than we emphasizing the perpetrator or emphasizing the criminal, instead of emphasizing that the criminal is from that background, and the background are the people who are criminals. It's not easy to just blame one person's crime activity into a whole lot of young people and whole lot of children and adults who are really committing to the country and who are very peaceful people. And if you do portray a lot of things around it, and that's when it's, you know, everything goes into. And I really, you know, liked how, you know, generation could look at, you know, fighting racism and where you can start from it and how we can break the, you know, cycle, right? And that is where these songs come from. I think that these songs really match, and I really love the songs because it really emphasizes Martin Luther King's.
Oh, one day when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, the spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh,
glory, glory,
glory,
oh. Glory,
glory. Now the war is not over, victory isn't won, but we'll fight on to the finish.
Every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. No one can win a war individually. It take the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory, the coming of the Lord. My eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, glory. Oh,
your back online is Planet F from 10.6 and by Resettle Radio, and this is Jobin Raja, and I'm here. And we are talking about racism today. And this is a song about glory, and I think it's sang by John Legend. If you do know John Legend is an amazing singer. And it's also emphasized the point of, you know, is go back to the civil rights movement that happened. It's also called the Black Rights Movement, and it was led by, you know, it's between 1950s to 1968, and it was led by Martin Luther King. And the 1963 march was on Washington, and it was, you know, it was to prevent, you know, the discrimination against the people of colors, people of the African Americans. And it does calls for the abolition of the slavery, and, you know, the effect of the Civil War in America. And it's also had amendments to be reconstructed and preventing segregation. And just because segregation happened readily everywhere, even at school, and, you know, even at toilets, even at public toilets, they were segregated, you know, based on their color. And this has happened over the years, and we learn from the history that it is not right to discriminate against a specific part of the community just based on their color or originality or the belief or the way that they look at. So we realize from our history, and I really love you to listen to Martin Luther King's speech. I will play it. I will play it for you guys, and you guys could, you know, listen to Martin Luther King's speech. And it's so inspiring to the movement that I realized that how influential he was and how influential he as a leader. And it is important for you to stand up against racism, because that's what the next topic that we're going to talk about is. It's called bystander racism, and is by statistic 1/3 of the people are the only one who are speaking up against racism. And they see, you know, racism or racial abuse that are happening in front of them, and 2/3 is not responding. So the question is that how many of us really looking at, all right, racism is experienced by people, and if we're going to intervene racism, we go and say, all right, you guys are younger people, you guys are from specific communities, and you have to stand up for yourself. And then the question is that, all right, so I'm the one being able to stand up, and what's the question about my society, and what's the role of my society in what I do? That's when the bystander comes in. Is most of us being a bystander, most of us looking things and not reacting to it. It is our responsibility to take care of our own communities and take care of our own society. If something happened in front of you, don't be a bystander. Just stand up and say no. Stand up and say it is not right to continue. It is not right to follow up into. And stand up and say, we're never going to let that happen. If you do that, if the person who being a racist, who is making racial comments, he could be able to see that it's not a social norm. People are against him and people are going to be telling him no. Telling no to him would question that whether he is right or wrong. Will help him to realize that he is being wrong because it's not a social norm. It is not acceptable to judge and act before it. It's pretty much a theory of, you know, how they did the research into looking at what sort of, you know, things that affect in a sociocultural theory, right? If someone is as a child, that if they are doing an adverse thing, if you do react to it in a negative reinforcement way and you say no to things to the child would change in a behavior. There was a change in a behavior when you do have negative reinforcement. That's mean you go and say no. And if you don't react, you still have the same behavior that's been accumulated. The behavior increases if you don't even react. Even you clap and say good, well done, and encourage them to do, you know, certain behaviors, they still increase. You know, it doesn't matter whether you encourage or whether you don't, nothing. Doing nothing is similar to, you know, encouraging them. And saying no would help the behavior to change. And the behavior would change because it's not going to be a social norm. It's not going to be acceptable by the society. So if it is not being accepted by the society, it will help the next generation to look up. That's how the whole, you know, civil rights movements are. The civil rights movement and black rights movement emphasize to the point that we have to stand up. And we have to let the generation to stand up and say no. Saying no to things, saying no to injustice, saying no to discrimination is very important. And if you are listening to your side, question yourself, what is racism to yourself? Whether you have experienced it firsthand or secondhand, or whether you have saw someone going through it. Even at point, I realized that racism even can be systemic. You can go to a place and, you know, and meet with a doctor, and doctor could be even, you know, question your integrity or your level of education based on your color. They might just look at you and say, can you speak English? So it's a very good question, but in a way that it would be very productive to just have a communication and figure it out whether they need an assistant to it, rather than making racial comments and having to break that barrier. So asking questions such as, do you speak English, is fine, as long as it doesn't go and continue by saying that, are you from that specific communities, you know, who doesn't even speak English, who doesn't even do stuff, and complaining about it. And that's where that you're breaking the whole line. So there is a line that we are breaking when we being more racist, and when we trying to segregate a specific community based on the behavior of, you know, some of them that they are exhibiting in the community. And this is where discrimination happens, because we are discriminating based on, you know, what we think of them, rather than giving a chance for them to show who they are, rather than giving a chance them for us to understand who they are and us to be with them, you know, and have a good conversation with them. So we are not doing that. And that's when the whole topic into what's next. Yeah, we talked about racism now. We also talked about bystander racism now. And what do you think about reacting to it? How well we can intervene racism at hand? And it is to a realization, it is a behavior that we need to be changed in the society, or it is a behavior that we need to change about ourselves. And I always been told, you know, a couple of times that some of them ask me the same question that, all right, the problem might be very systemic. It might be very huge. We have to change in a huge level. We have to change the biggest policy. We have to change the whole government. And then I ask the question that, have you ever looked at changing yourself? Have you ever looked at, you know, being yourself and giving time and space to understand specific people from specific communities? And have you ever went to a specific community and spent time there? Have you ever been to a church? Have you ever been to a mosque? Have you ever been to a specific community gathering and had, you know, engaged with specific communities and the communities from the color? Even, you know, racial communities, our Tarawa Racial Community Coalition, do you have events that has been happening over time? You can check us out on the Facebook and go and find out what's happening in and around. It's either the World Refugee Day, it's either the, you know, our racial community events that can happen all the time. And if you pop into one of the event and look forward to meet people who are new, meeting people who are new is very interesting. Trust me that you will learn a lot just by spending time with it. You don't need to travel to, you know, specific country and learn about the community. You can learn about that specific community by expressing their culture and identity very in a very good space, you know, space that is very safe and inclusive. And we could be able to just have a chat with them and just go and say, why don't we talk to you guys? And why don't we have a good conversation within ourselves? And this is what, you know, I do think it's a potential thing that we could do. And this is how we could be able to intervene racism. And I think that it's really good if we do, listen to this one other song. It's called The Change Is, The Change Is Gonna Come. Right, it's a very interesting song, and I really like it. And it's sung by Sam Cooke, and I think that it will help us to better go to the next subject and lay out the whole map for the same, you know, next subject we're going to discuss. And let's go and jump into the song.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother
say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I could last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been but I know change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Yes, the change gonna come. And I do really emphasize the song, and it's really good to listen to specific songs that really emphasize the point of the change. All right, so we has been talking about racism and how we can intervene in it, and what about bystander racism? So what is bystander racism? And we has been talking about it from since the start. And this is Jobin Rajaratnam, and you're listening to Reset Radio, and this is Birch. It is run by our Tarawa Reset Community Coalition, and is 104.6 Planet FM. And yes, so how do we intervene racism, and where do you think that the change should come from? And I will really play the Martin Luther Luther King speech, so you would, you know, happen to know how, you know, he has been, you know, influencing the next generation of younger people to look after the way that we, you know, convey things, or whether that we had a discussion about specific part of the communities. And it was really important to me as a person come from very different background to a new country and experience racism at front hand. I think I still talk about the time that I was in a flat series that, you know, was going there and speaking about refugees. And one of the person, he, you know, woke up and he say that, why don't you go back to your own country and fight for, fight for your own country? And I was shocked to, I was shocked on the spot, and I questioned myself whether, whether that I'm here being included, or whether that I'm questioned for who I am. And I have to answer back, and he's a lawyer too, and he's doing, you know, a law paper, and I was shocked to the point, and I have to answer back, and I said, what would you do? Because that's how you question it, because sometimes it's a perspective thinking, right? It's very participatory. It's very individualized of what they think. And I really want them to experience, you know, what they question is what they have, you know, what would they do if they have, you know, experienced the same that I was experiencing. And I asked him that, what would you do if you do have an, you know, two options? Either you stay back and fight and die, or either you leave the country and live a life with your own family. And you are not alone, you have your own family. So what would be your decision? Would you be selfish and say, I'm going to go and fight and you know, and do whatever it takes to rebuild everything, and not care about your family? Or you would take your family and leave. So, and the question that we that put it in, he was shocked and he couldn't answer. And I said, we left because we cared about the people around us, and there was no option for us to fight, and we don't want to fight. We don't want to be in the war. We are the people who fleeing the war. We don't like war. We like peace, and we wanted to live in peace. we had everything that's around us that contributed us to be who we are. And why would I need to leave my home? Why would I need to leave everything behind and have nothing when I came to this country? And still being put into a house, but still have to pay a rent. And I lived in a house that I don't have to pay a rent because that was built by my parents. And we had those life, and we wasn't the people that who hadn't had life. We had life. Everyone who came as a refugee had a life. And they was fleeing persecution and war, and they had no option to go back. So that's why that everyone was leaving rather than staying up and fighting. And he realized to the point that whatever he asked was very irrelevant to hold what we were talking in the field. But I was very happy that I opened his eyes, and it's really important for everyone to open, you know, the eyes of the other. And let's go back into, you know, how well that we are being preparing our next generation. And one of the things that I always question is how well New Zealand knows on history and on history of racism that has happened in this country. The factor of colonization and the factor of, you know, the question of how many of us really know about what happened in Bastion Point, what happened in Parihaka, and what happened to indigenous community in this country. And that's, it's a question, because I'm being a research community and I'm speaking about the history of New Zealand. I'm asking the question, how well our younger generation is exposed to it, and how well did our next generation know about the real history of their own country? And that's where that we're making, you know, a bit of a question, that if we don't tell them, and how are they going to change themselves? How are they going to make things better if they don't know their past? Part is really important, because past give you the essence for your present. The past experience gives you the essence for your present and essence for your future as well. It's create who you are, right? And this is how we developed into people who we are. The experience that we gained made us who we are today. And that's how, you know, the effect of breaking a cycle goes in. Breaking a cycle starts from, you know, preventing something from the start, either intervening at the initial stage. At least it could be, you know, either at kindergarten or either at, you know, early childhood, or either at primary or intermediate, intermediate schools or intermediate sections. And at the junior level, that you could be potentially make them to, you know, get exposed to things that, you know, that's been, you know, happened in the country and happened all over the world. And also emphasize to the point that people with differences are people who like themselves. They are not very different people from their perspective. They are the people who they are. And before we ask the question or judge them, judge your own self. Judge who you are by yourself. If you can find and judge yourself, then you can judge someone. And it's very easy to judge someone if you can't judge yourself. So that's the capability of, you know, self, being self-aware and about what is racism, and being self-aware about, you know, who is people from differences and who they are and what their stories are and what are the things that they are going through. And if that could be something that, do you think that it could be possible to do? Or introducing a racism studies, or introducing, you know, a history, or introducing cultural learning, or introducing cultural intelligence at early stages of kids' education. That might be, you know, something that would break the cycle, because someone talked about it, you know, in basis of family violence, and how we can break a cycle is by introducing them and exposing them what it is at the earlier stage, so that we could be able to prevent them from, you know, being someone who is a perpetrator, who is the one committing racism, or who is the one being a racist to specific parts of the communities. And I still, you know, Because someone asked me, you know, recently about, you know, have you ever experienced racism on your hand? And I said, I can convey to the point that racism is a very realistic thing. And it does exist in even, you know, in even a peaceful country, even a country that's well known for peace and safe. And we do have positive people. We do have people who showed love and people who are loving us a lot and lot. But we also still have racism in the country. And acknowledging that is very important. And acknowledging the positive part of it is we do have people really stand up in this own country. And I was really proud, and I'm still proud to be in New Zealand. I'm still proud to be who I am today. Just for one reason is I feel being included, and I feel being, you know, who I am to the country. But I also question to the level that I had to stand for against racism. I have to stand for things that I do see online. I do see as online, you know, online racial comments. Especially, you know, I was reading one of the comments from the Amnesty's campaign for the community sponsorship program for refugees, and I was listening to it, and I was like reading through the whole the comments, and one of the comments was saying that the refugees are leeches, and just because they are being resettled into the country, they are contributing to that and contributing to the housing crisis and everything. And I replied by asking that we are only resettling 750 people per year, right? And those people are not being resettled in Auckland anymore. And they are being resettled to places that people don't even living in, which is like Stewart Island, Dunedin, and those people, those places that have a very less population. And most of us are leaving those urban areas. If you really wanted to stop housing crisis, why don't we go into populate those urban areas around New Zealand and go and populate it? Get ourselves and tell ourselves that we never gonna move into an urban area. We're gonna go back to our rural areas, and we're gonna go and populate it. If you do populate, you know, such areas, and this is how the population, you know, and migration theory goes in. If you do populate a specific area with, you know, a specific number of people, the whole businesses grows in. We do see that specific development, you know, happening around Auckland region. You could see, you know, especially the Flatbush region and the Flatbush redevelopment area. There was nothing before 3 to 4 years. And right now, they do have pack and serve, and they do have plazas, and they do have shops, and businesses are blooming out. Just for the reason that redevelopment area being populated by enormous number of people are coming to that area. So if that same thing could happen to our rural areas, and our rural areas are underpopulated now, so it would be way better if you do have population going and moving in and living there. And these are being populated by refugees now. So one of the things that we are doing is we are contributing to the economy, and we are contributing to build the rural areas by being there, because being in the population, that's what refugees are doing. And we are not being leeches, and we are being very positive people who are contributing to the country, and, you know, and being positive about who we are. And we also love the country. We also love the nation who gave us life, and who gave us a chance to live again, who gave us opportunity to be with our family and feel safe and feel loved and feel inclusive. So we love our Tarawa. We love New Zealand. So to the question that go back into being self-aware and being self-empowered, and if you are listening to the radio, and if you are from, you know, any communities, any communities from differences, any communities from color, any communities from, you know, culture, religion, you know, anything, that if you are here in New Zealand, be proud of yourself and stand up for the things around yourself. Stand up for the people of color. Never judge the other, right? And if you do want to know about specific community, go and spend time with them, right? And learn about what their aspects are and how they behave and how they talk and, you know, and how generous those people are. And I lived with the specific communities, and I do tell you that you would realize that how much culturally diverse they are and how much generous they are as a people, how much, you know, welcoming they are as a people. And that's what is really important to us. And I think that I will going to be playing you the Martin Luther King's speech, and I really, you know, want you to listen to it because it will pump you up. Let's listen to it and take a break.
If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. So just as I say, we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around. We aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
We are back online. It's 104.6 Planet FM, and you are listening to Reset Radio. And this is Jobidan Rajaratnam, and it's produced by our Trawa Reset Community Coalition. And yes, that's the Martin Luther King's speech, and it's really, you know, and to the word that he said that I, you know, been to the mountaintop. I've been there, and I experienced things on ahead to myself, and I won't let things happen to the other. And that's the attitude that we should have, is don't forget what was the past and never let that past, you know, happen again. And segregation is very real, and it's happened all around us. And you could, you know, you could be a really big eye-opener. It doesn't matter which community you are from, you know, and which color you have, which differences you have. You can stand up for anyone. You can stand up for things that are around you. Be eye-opener. Open your eyes and look around you and see the big picture. What really happening? If you do go to a place that you do see that there was people of color or people of differences being treated very differently, tell them it is not right. Tell them that it is not acceptable in front of me as a citizen of this country, as the resident of this country, as the person that who loves the country itself. I'm never going to let, you know, anyone in this country being mistreated by itself. And show that compassion, show that love, and show that aroha to each other. And that's what we really needed, even within our young generation, and break the cycle. Don't repeat the racism again and again. Don't be a community who does not understand it. I I still remember that I was at one time that I was in a table with different people from different communities, but I still was struggling to speak to them because I wouldn't know that I do question myself whether I'm being included in this own community or whether they, I have a difference that I cannot be, you know, even being accepted to itself because no one was exposed to refugees. No one had no knowledge about who is refugees and what of sort of things that they go through. It might be very similar to their own life and own history and their own problems. And it was very easy if they do understand a bit and we could be able to connect with each other better. Now, I do know that people experience a lot in their lifetime. And some people have been through things that are very similar to what refugees has been, you know, has been going through. And these experiences do share, very similar perspective to it. So why don't we, you know, work together? Why don't we talk together? Why don't we, you know, be together? And I really think that that's the point that you do have to, you know, be on and understand that how well that we can be a community who are very strong, united, and helping the newcomers and resettling communities and resettled community to feel welcome and feel inclusive and feeling loved. I do know that after the Christchurch attack, there is a lot of people who are really generous and really amazing people who came together and hold their hand together and stand for those people who are being targeted for. And I really love the fact and really love how, you know, Haka was performed and really love the generosity of indigenous communities. And I really want the rhythm to be happening again and again and not to fail anyone again. Never fail someone. If you do see someone being experienced racism by first hand, never be a bystander. Right, so that's the whole topic. We have talked about it from the top to what is racism, to what is bystander racism, to and how we can intervene. It's self-empowerment, education, and towards teaching the next generation and break the cycle. All right, so it's been an amazing day and love talking to you. And this has been like we got into 5:47, so we have only 3 minutes. So I will play a song to end the whole conversation. And you have been listening to Planet FM 104.6. And this is Reset Radio by our Torah Reset Community Coalition. And love talking to you all. And we will be back next Saturday. And with God luck for sure. And listen to this song.
Was our show for this week.
Take care until next Saturday, same time, 10 to 5 on Planet FM 104.6
and on the web www.plantaudio.org.nz/resetradio.